Good morning. This morning reading from 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
It's good to be with you folks today. I appreciate the opportunity to come and tell you a little bit about World Bible School this morning and the Bible class, and then to be able to speak from God's Word as well. And I certainly appreciate Robert and the work that he is doing here. Known Robert for many, many years, and more than we would like to count, I suppose. But nonetheless, he is a dear friend of mine, and love he and his wife. Good to be with you. If we think this morning about the Bible, you know, as I talked about in our class this morning in the presentation for World Bible School, this is a photo of the Bible that World Bible School now produces. And I thought, since we were beginning a campaign this year for called Bibles for Millions, that it would be appropriate to have a sermon on the Bible as well. But when we think about the Bible, you know, the word Bible does not appear in the Bible. The Bible is simply a collection of scriptures. And we think about the scripture reading that we just had. When we consider the Bible, all scripture, that means both Old Testament and New Testament, every word is inspired by God Himself. We think about the Bible and how profitable it is for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that you and I, the man or person of God, might be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. You know, there isn't anything you and I can do that would be considered good or at least acceptable in God's sight that He hasn't already instructed us to be a part of, or told us that we should be doing this. We think about the many good things that people do in the name of religion today, and some may or may not be necessarily according to God's word, but if it is good, then God is the only one who can claim what is good. Then it has already been instructed in the Bible. We think about the Bible and how precious it is to you and I that are believers in God, and without it, we would be lost religiously. We would be lost spiritually, because the Bible teaches us all things that we need to know. How to live our lives, of how to obey God, and to know what is acceptable and unacceptable to our Lord. And the Bible teaches us, as was mentioned in the prayer, that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. That means that we are to worship according to God's will with all of our heart. But when we think about the Bible, we ask a question. What makes the Bible great? I know that I'm saying some things this morning that perhaps most of you are already familiar with. You already know many things that makes the Bible great or qualifies it to be called great. But when we consider the idea of the writers, 40 men over a period of about 1,600 years. I can tell you this morning, or perhaps I could have looked it up and read to you some facts about the Bible, about how many chapters and verses and all of that, but that's totally irrelevant. Those chapters and verses were divided by mankind. God simply inspired the Word, and the Word teaches us, and the Word is what qualifies it to be called the Bible. Because 40 different men over a period of 1,600 men all writing about the same thing. And they range from kings even to fishermen. These men of different qualifications, educational-wise, as far as their education was concerned and how they wrote and their styles, were all quite different. The Lord took uneducated fishermen and made them into great writers as well. We think about what makes the Bible great, and we recognize that there are many attributes of the Bible that qualify it to be great, and it's harmony. No, not that kind of harmony. This kind of harmony. Both Old Testament and New Testament point to the cross of Jesus. And the fact that he died on the cross to save us from our sins, and that he was raised from the dead. This is the harmony of the scripture. They're all pointing toward the same thing, the same event, the same thing that qualified him to become our Savior and to give us the hope that we now have in him. That's what the Bible is all about. So this makes the Bible great, but when we think about some things that make the Bible great, it is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. You know, it's important for you and I to hear words from some people. And I would rather hear words firsthand than secondhand, hadn't you? Because sometimes the secondhand words may not necessarily be as accurate as the firsthand words. But we think about hearing the word from God. The word that comes down from his mouth through his prophets, through the apostles, through the writers of the Bible. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they were telling you and I through the words that they wrote, the words that they spoke. This is what God says. This comes from the mind of God. And we think about the fact that God's word is inspired. 2 Peter 1, verses 21 through chapter 2, verse 1. Prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We think about also the fact that John writes when he, quoting the words of Jesus, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. Then we find also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, "Now we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." These are words that came directly from our God. But what makes the Bible great? Is it because of its scientific accuracy? It is scientifically accurate, but there are five facts that science depends upon. There is, first of all, the matter of time. And scientists try to hide a lot of things in time, don't they? But there is also space. And there is matter, which is made up of gas, liquid, and solid. And then there's force and motion. When we think about how scientifically accurate the Bible is, we all know that scientists have found a black hole in the north. Out in space, there is this black hole that nothing is found within. And they can't explain it. There have been attempts, of course, as they always try to do, but they can't explain why that black hole exists, nor can I. But we think about what the Bible says. Job said he stretches out the north over empty space. And then he also says that he hangs the earth on nothing. You know, when you look from space at the earth, as this picture depicts, the earth is just hanging there. What's holding it in place? What is holding all the planets in place? What is making those planets revolve around the sun? The Word of God. The Bible tells us about all of these things because Isaiah told many years ago that it is God who sits above the circle of the earth. And this was long before Columbus ever sailed around the ocean or around the world, because before that time they thought the earth was flat. But Job knew many centuries beforehand that the earth was round. We think about the scientific accuracy of the Bible, and that makes it great. But also the historical accuracy. We all are familiar with King David, who ruled over Israel, the man who, as a young lad, slay a giant, the young lad who was keeping the sheep and killed a lion and a bear. David is famous to you and I. But did you realize that there is no historical, or wasn't any historical events recorded other than in the Bible until 1993. And that's when a stone was uncovered by archaeologists in Israel that talks about David as the house of David and the king of Israel. So the Bible is historically accurate because there are many things depicted or talked about in the Bible that nowhere else in history is it recorded. We are also familiar with the man called Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor who condemned Jesus or turned Jesus over to be crucified. Do you know that history does not record anything about Pontius Pilate? But in 1961, there was a stone found in the city of Caesarea that had his name etched there. So we realize that the Bible has been proven time and time again to be scientifically accurate, historically accurate. The Bible has always been proven right, even when skeptics say, well, you know, there are things, you know, the Hittites are talked about much in the Old Testament. Nothing was known about them until just a few years ago when they discovered where the Hittites actually lived. So the Bible is completely accurate, but it is also indestructible. Many, many attempts have been made by mankind to destroy the Word of God and its relevancy to our life. They're still trying to do that today. But we look at the fact that the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God does what? Stands forever. You know, God gave us His inspired Word. You could take this Bible and you could rip out pages and throw it in the trash can. You could throw the entire thing into a fire and burn it up. But does that eliminate the Word of God? You know, many, many years ago in the Middle Ages, the Bible was supposedly destroyed by mankind. They burned every Bible that they could find, and they burned the people who printed them along with it. You know, they did not destroy the Word of God. It did not die. It did not go away. Because the Bible tells us, Psalm chapter 100, verse 5, and Peter quotes this also, that the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You know, you think about our life and our relationship with God. You and I cannot see God. We can't touch God. We only know God through this book. And God sitting in heaven, looking down over His creation, He has a will for every one of our lives. And the only way God can reveal His will to you and I is through His Word, His inspired Word, the God-breathed Word. And He has given us the instruction book to life, the instruction book to eternal life within these pages. God does not any longer communicate directly to mankind, even though there are people who claim God told them this and God told them that. But the only way God communicates to us today is through His inspired Word. But He has given us a book that's it's not comparable to any other book. There are books in the world that are bestsellers for many, many years, but this has been the bestseller since they began to keep records. More copies of the Bible have been sold than any other book in existence. Why is that? Is it because people just want to buy it? No. But they understand that this is the book of God. And when we think about how important this book is, without it, you and I would not know very much about Jesus other than what's recorded in history. You and I would not know the will of God nor the mind of God. We would not know what pleased God nor displeased God. You can see God in nature, yes. But does looking at a tree tell you that you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins? No. Does looking up at the stars at night tell you that you need to worship the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? No. You find those instructions only in this book. So this book is indestructible, and it does endure to all generations. What really makes the Bible great is the fact that it is the Word of God. When we think about that being the Word of God, we find that Paul wrote to the Thessalonican brethren in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, Because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us. Now notice, they received the word of God through the mouth of the apostle. You welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The Bible is great because, as Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, that the word of God, notice, is living. Now, is this book alive? No. I can't hear it breathing. I can't feel a pulse. But it's alive, brethren. It is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Notice, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know one thing that makes the Bible really great? Is the fact that I can read this book. It is the Word of God. But at the same time I'm reading this book is reading me back. This book is searching my heart. This book is searching my motives for why I do what I do. This book is revealing to me my innermost thoughts as it does yours. We think about what makes the Bible really great, the fact that it is the Word of God. And it is alive. And it reads us as well as we read it. And it is the truth. There are truths in the world. The only one absolute truth that we can know about, and that's the Word of God. You know, I might tell you something today that is true, but circumstances might prevent it from being true tomorrow. Now, I'm not saying that, as many people say today, there are no absolute truths, no right or wrong. What's right for you might not be right for me and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you that the only absolute truth day in and day out is this book. When we think about the Bible, we're reminded of what Jesus prayed, John 17:17. Father, sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. When we think about the Bible, we realize that, as the psalmist stated, the entirety of God's word is truth. Not just the words written in red that Jesus spoke, not just the words that we want to pick out that we agree with, but every word of God is truth. That means, brethren, whether we like it or whether we don't like it, God's word is always right. God's word is always true. That's what truly makes the Bible great. When we think about what is really making the Bible great, is the fact that it is life. The Hebrew writer said, it is a living book, yes. But inside this book, we find the words about life, eternal life. Jesus stated, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. We find also that He's told Peter. Simon Peter answered, Lord, when Jesus asked, will you also go away? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus also told us that the words that he spoke, the same will judge us in the last day. That's what really makes the Bible great, is because it is life. It has the words of life. It is our salvation. In 2 Timothy 3:15, as Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he said, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. That would be what we call the Bible, right? Only for his situation, it would have referred to the Old Testament. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible makes us wise for salvation. So this book is important because it is our salvation. John chapter 1, John begins his gospel narrative by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We think about that and we realize, John, this book wasn't completed when you wrote that. There were some Old Testament scriptures, but the New Testament had not yet been written. So how can you say that the Word was in the beginning? The Word was with God. The Word was God. Because as he revealed in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We recognize that to be Jesus, don't we? So is this Jesus? Is this book I'm holding in my hand the Son of God? You say, well, certainly not. How absurd. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That means Jesus and the Word are one and the same. I don't see him in there, but the words tell about him, don't they? Jesus is in this book, yes. This book, in fact, is all about Jesus. From beginning to end. From Genesis to Malps, it's all about Jesus. Because it is in him and only in him that you and I have hope of eternal life. So the Bible is important. The Bible is great. It is truly great because it is our salvation. And without it, we would not have it. The Bible is great because not only is it about Jesus, but as Paul wrote to the Galatian brethren, for you are all sons of faith, or sons of God, through faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know how my scripture got broken up there, but it did. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice what he says. We're sons of God, how? Through faith in Christ Jesus. And then, you can't see that very well because that's messed up. But faith comes by hearing. And hearing by what Robert tells us. No. Hearing by the Word of God. Brethren, every ounce of faith that you and I have in our lives is found through this book. We cannot pray to God, Lord, give me faith, and leave this out. God will give us faith when we study this book, his words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and this is where we find it. If your faith is weak, brethren, get in the book, because that's where faith comes from. It doesn't come through experience. It doesn't come through prayer. It doesn't come through any place except through study. Study of the greatest book ever written, the Word of God. When we think about the Bible being the Word of God, we recognize that that makes this book one of the most precious possessions that we have in our life. You know, as I look around this assembly, I see some parents. I see some parents with children. I see some grandparents and some grandchildren. And those are all precious. I see husbands and wives, and that spouse is precious. But the most precious thing God has given you and I is our soul. He gave the most precious thing that he had to save our soul, his Son Jesus Christ. But the second most precious thing that God has given you and I, and we are blessed, brethren, to have it in our possession, that is this book. Without it, where would we be? Without it, we would not have the instruction from God. We would not have the assurances of God. We would not have the promises of God. We would not have God's plan of salvation without this book. What really makes this book important, or makes it great, is it is God's Word. It is truth. It is inspired. And we can believe it. We can trust it with all of our heart. And we can follow it all the days of our life, and it will lead us to heaven. this is the greatest book in all the world. And that's one thing that I talked about in our class this morning. World Bible School is having a campaign called Bibles for Millions. We want our WBS students to be able to have the Bible, a Bible of their own that they can study and learn and serve God acceptably. You and I have had the luxury, perhaps, of all of our life having a Bible in our possession. You know, one of the most wasteful things that you and I could ever do is neglect to study this book. When we consider what is contained, and the Bible doesn't just contain the Word of God, it is the Word of God. But the words inside this book teach you and I how we should live. And if you haven't studied it enough to know that we need Jesus, brethren, let me encourage you, study it further. Because we will find that we're all sinners. We will find that we all are in need of a Savior. We will find that He, Jesus, the Son of God, is that Savior. We will find that we must confess Him before mankind to have salvation. We will find that we must repent of our sins to have salvation. We will find that we must be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, to contact His cleansing blood to be saved from our sins. We will find that we must live faithful until death to have that crown of life. This book leads us to heaven. This is the roadmap. Let us never neglect it. Let us never take it for granted. Let us share it with all that we have the opportunity to do so. There's one here this morning that needs to obey the gospel. I want to encourage you to do that. If you're a child of God already and there's something in your life that's hindering you from serving the Lord as you should, whatever it is, I don't care what it is, there is nothing so great that you should not give it up for our Lord Jesus. He gave up heaven to come die for our sins. Aren't we willing to give up any earthly thing that we might go there to be with Him? Whatever might be hindering you from serving God as you ought, maybe your heart has just grown cold. Let me encourage you to repent this morning and give your life back to Jesus. Begin to study this precious book once more. Let faith be built up in your heart once again. And that fire and that zeal and that love for Christ to fill your life from day to day. Go out and serve Him each day. Whatever your need might be, we're going to sing you an invitation song. We encourage you to come while together we stand and sing.